Hi there, listener, and welcome to episode 296 of the Ski Podcast, our third Winter Olympics special. I'm your host, Ian Martin, and in today's episode, I'm joined by BBC's freestyle commentator, Ed Lee. Ed is on his sixth Winter Olympic Games and has seconds to identify the tricks that the riders pull, which have progressed unbelievably over the years. I was blown away by all the athletes in last night's men's snowboard big air final. The gold in that event was won by Japan's Kira Kimura with a switch backside 1980 mute. Now, if that doesn't mean much to you, listen on as Ed explains exactly what the terminology that describes each jump means, as well as how the judges come up with their scores.
On Ski Sunday this winter, there were several features that I really enjoyed. In particular, I think in the last episode, the Schladming episode, you were talking about, and you know, your job, incredibly complex, being able to describe what you see before you in freestyle events to, let's say, normal people like me. You know, many of our listeners, you know, come from all over the world. They won't have heard that. I wondered if you could just explain that to people so that when they watch and when they hear the commentary, they can have a better understanding of what they're seeing.
100%. It's because it can sound like gobbledygook so easily if you just sort of drop into it and you don't know what's going on. But there's three main parts to every trick call. And the first aspect of that is the direction of the rotation, the way the athlete's spinning. And there's four directions, classically. So you have front side, which is as you come up the jump or the takeoff, you open the front of your body to the jump. The opposite is backside, you turn your back to the takeoff as you're going off it. And then because on a snowboard, you have a preference of the way you're standing sideways. So you either prefer to stand left foot forward, which is regular, or right foot forward, which is goofy. So if you're standing your unnatural way, that's called switch stance, or sometimes it can be called fakie. And then you have the reverse. So it's switch front side, switch backside. So four basic rotations. And that's the first thing we'll call. You might get a little add-on. So I'm going to call this 1.5. And that's if they change the axis of the rotation. So you'll have a flat spin and then you have a backflip or a front flip. Not many people do straight backflips or front flips, but you have things like rodeos or alley-oops, or off-axis spins. Twist is another one. So those can muddle things a bit. But the basic first call is front side, backside, switch front side, or another exception to the rule, cab is what you can call front switch front side, and switch backside. So that's the direction of spin taken care of. The next thing we call is the number of rotations. And that goes up in 180s. So 180 degrees, 360, 540, 720 is two full spins. That's about where the basic women will start. Then it goes 900s, 1080s, 1260s, 1440s, 1620s is the end of the women's spins. So 3.5 times. In men's big air, you would most likely not see 1440s. People will start at 1620, probably more like 1800, which is five full spins. And then 1920, 2160 was the X Games winning trick, but we're getting up to 2340. And there has been talk of 2520s and even 2700s into airbags.
These numbers are just insane. And being able to call it, I guess it's an instinctive thing that you can see in front of you, just automatically comes to you, does it?
Anything above a 2160 is still incredibly rare. The trick to it, as I said before, you have a stance, so left foot forward or right foot forward. If you're doing 3.5 spins, then you know that that is a 1260 versus 4.5 spins, which is a 1620. You do get 360 degrees of difference. But when you corkscrew a rotation, they can cheat areas of that spin. And if you're listening carefully to Tim and I on commentary, you'll know we might take our time. We're usually pretty honest about it. If we can't work out what it is, we'll say, think it was this, let's double check it on the replays.
And so that's the approach, the axis, the rotations, and then also you might throw in something for the type of grab that they're doing as well.
100%. So that's the third element you have. And the grabs are where it starts to sound a bit ridiculous. Most of this entomology comes from skateboarding. So you have the origins are based out of the original skateboarding tricks, and then they've grown with snowboarding as it's progressed. But tail grabs and nose grabs, very obvious, back of the board, front of the board. Then you have front side grab, which is, it actually has two names. Front side grab is your backhand on your toe edge between your feet, but you only do that when you're doing a front side air or a front side spin. If you're going backside, it's an indie grab or an independent air, to give it its full name. There's hashtags on social media platforms called Trick Pedantry is Fun. And it's so, so deep. You can dive down this long wormhole of grabs and getting them right. But there's some fantastic ones. You go through things like roast beef, stelmarski, chicken salad, spaghetti, Crail, Holy Crail, Rocket, Cross Rocket. Recently, bit of controversy, there was a grab called the Mute Grab that the Bones Brigade, the original crew of skateboarders, named after one of the local skaters at their vert ramp, Mike Weddle. He was actually deaf, not mute, but they've had a campaign to replace the Mute Grab with the Weddle Grab, so Mike gets the credit for it, and it's less offensive to anyone who is deaf or mute.
Well, that really is an insight. So I think hopefully listeners will have understood now. Approach, axis, rotations, grab, that's what you're hearing. And, you know, when you and Tim call those, I guess the longer they're in the air, the longer you've got to think about it. But it really is a matter of seconds to put it together, right?
Yeah, but you can also, it depends how intense the situation is. If you close your eyes and think about tennis commentary, there's a lot of space that they'll leave between stuff. Golf, they'll let it breathe. And if people are coming down, if Tim and I have got a sense that they're really going to push and they're going to go for something, then we'll start winding it up. But if you're in qualifiers, for example, we may not even call the grabs because there are very basic grabs like the Weddle, the front side, truck drivers are both hands on the board and drunk drivers are the opposite hands, opposite way. But if they're basic like that, we won't do it. So we'll just say, coming in, off the rail switch, you let it breathe down the run-in, cab 1260, into the backside 1260, and switch back 14 to finish. Like, you don't really hit it home. So what we've found over the years, what you're saying is almost rubbish in some senses for a lot of the audience, but it's how you say it that's important. It's almost like reading a storybook to a child.
Well, it's something that you've honed, clearly over, six Winter Olympics, developing those skills as a commentator. There was another feature on Ski Sunday, which actually by Shemi, which I found really interesting when you're out in Larks, where she interviewed some of the judges. Now, everyone coming down is ultimately getting a score. That's what's going to determine who gets the medals. And I think that can be, a bit obscure for the layman. I mean, we're never going to understand exactly, but how do they make up those scores and how many judges are there involved in that?
In the snowboarding, there are 9 judges. No, 10. There are 9 judges and 1 head judge. And the way it breaks down, you have 6 features in slopestyle. And there's 2 judges watching every 2 features. So 6 judges watching 6 features. They're taking a third of the course each. So they're looking at individual scores. They're comparing trick for trick what you're seeing between every rider. Apples for apples, if you like. And they'll come up with a score out of 10. So that's 60, a maximum score of 60 for your 6 features. Then you've got 3 judges looking at overall impression. All of them are using the same criteria, and it comes under the acronym PAVED. Progression, so how different is the trick? Amplitude, how much height have you got? How much speed have you got? How deep do you go into the landing? Then you've got variety. Now, the overall judges are watching this very, very carefully. because they want to see across the six features as many different directions of spin. If you're not spinning all four basic directions, then you're not close. But if you can add in what we're seeing now, more and more from the athletes are rodeos or alley-oop spins, which is when you rotate back up the hill rather than down it. And a really good one is pullbacks, bringbacks, or rewinds. Athletes have got to a level of aerial awareness where they can stop a spin, halt the spin in an unnatural position, or even rewind it, bring it back, and spin an opposite direction. So that variety is key. Then you have execution and difficulty. So you've got six judges feature by feature, that's called, or sector by sector, that's called. And then you have three looking at overall impression. And they're giving out of 40 points. And the head judge is watching all of those scores and looking for any kind of anomaly.
Did I catch during that interview that they drop like the lowest and the highest or something like that? Is that correct?
Yes, they do. That's in half pipe traditionally, because half pipe is not done sector by sector. So you're taking all of the scores in slope style. In big air and half pipe, because you haven't got to do so much of a course, you're looking at one trick, or you're looking at one trick in big air, five tricks in half pipe, they'll give an overall score and then they'll drop the top and the bottom to give you a nice mean average through the middle. The fascinating bit, and this is the key thing to remember though, snowboarding judges, it's different for free ski. They're different panels for free skiing and snowboarding. And the snowboard judges have worked incredibly hard to get to a position where they've had dialogue with the athletes to say, what do you want to see rewarded? Like, how do you want to ride? Where do you see this going? And there's been a very clear directive that don't want to just be doing huge spins. So to not disincentivize spinning 2340s, but to make sure that people, you can now go out and do a 1260, but if you do a nose butter where you slide around on the nose at the start, then you spin 1260, but halt it at 1080 and bring it back, then that can arguably get a score almost as big as just a tumble dryer 2340 spin. That dialogue is key. And what the number, as a spectator, don't get hung up on the number. Look at the position. The judges are using the number to give a position. They try and get that across as much as possible. And the only thing the number tells you, if it's a good run and it's low, is that the judges are expecting to see way more.
Yeah, very interesting. I think I could go off on a whole number of tangents about this because I'm interested in, you know, whether you and Tim see a score and then sometimes, you know, you think, well, that's way out of whack, or whether there's an advantage in going down early or probably later, I think, after, you know, some of the thresholds maybe have been set. But we won't tackle that now. I think all of this will have been very helpful for listeners, so that when they do watch and listen to your commentary, they have a much better understanding of what's going on. So I really appreciate that, Ed. And, you know, have a fantastic Games.
Thank you so much, Ian. Pleasure.
Right. I'm off to watch Lindsay Vonn in the unmissable women's downhill. I'll be back tomorrow evening with Emily Sarsfield as we review the weekend's action, with our fingers crossed for a first British medal from Kirsty Muir in the ski slope style. Plus, we'll discuss the chances of a possible second when we preview Mia Brooks in the snowboarding big air. That's it for now. If you're a first-time listener, I can recommend that you subscribe to the Ski Podcast now so you never miss an episode. We've got plenty more of these Olympic specials to come. And if you enjoyed this episode and you want to help the Ski Podcast, don't forget you can use the code SKIPODCAST when you book at intersportrent.com and you'll save yourself some money. I'll put a link in the show notes, which you can take for that discount to be automatically applied. Right, for now, I'd like to thank my special guest today, Ed Lee. And finally, listener, thank you for joining us wherever in the world you're listening right now. And until next time, goodbye.